Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
On the night of Christ's resurrection from the grave, in the upper room with his disciples, he spoke these words that are somewhat challenging. And we find them in John 20, verse 23. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. What does that mean? Who is that authority given to? Does that apply to everyone or to the apostles only? And what exactly is involved in this power to remit or retain sins? These are important questions, and we've been exploring them on the last several broadcasts, and we'll continue doing so in just a moment, but let me pause and welcome you to this Tuesday, July 6th edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and let me encourage you to write for Tape of the Month number 7, a Beacon Pulpit Bible study entitled, Where the Rubber Meets the Road. The text is Romans 12 and verse 9, Where the Rubber Meets the Road. We'll send you a copy if you'll write to us and give us the call letters of this station and, of course, your return address. Again, our address, the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, or you can email us at beacon@netpath.net. Well, as a way of examining the text in John 20 and verse 23, we have been examining two rather similar texts in the Gospel of Matthew. The first one in chapter 16 and verses 13 through 20, and we've already looked at that one. And the second one in chapter 18, verses 18 through 20, and we are now in the process of examining that second one. Now, the similar verse is verse 18, Matthew 18:18. Where Jesus said to his disciples at this occasion before his crucifixion, Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That sounds an awful lot like John 20:23, Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Not identical, but very similar. And again, the question arises, what exactly does this mean? What is the authority to bind on earth and to loose on earth and to bind in heaven and to loose in heaven? And to who is this, to whom, I guess I should say, is this authority given? And what is this all about? And for that reason, we have been studying the context of Matthew 18:18. And you recall that this is the occasion where Christ talks about how to address problems, disagreements, differences, sins, trespasses between Christian brothers. And it starts in verse 15, Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. That's always the first step. If you have a problem with a Christian brother, you must always go to him, or her, of course, individually and privately first, before you go to any other person. I know I've said that a few times, but I think it needs to be repeated and emphasized continually. We need to be reminded of this. This is no doubt one of the biggest sins of Christians that I know of. When somebody does something that we think is wrong, when somebody wrongs us, whether we are correct that they truly have wronged us or whether we have a perception that they have wronged us, It matters not if we think so. If that's our perception, of course, for the time being, at least that's our reality. And what is our inclination? What is usually the first thing we do? We start telling it to others without ever addressing it to the person involved. Sometimes never do talk to the person involved. Ignore them entirely, but tell it to many other people. That is wrong. That is sinful. That is wicked. That is wrong. That is sinful. That is wicked. Well, I'm just telling other people so they can pray about it. That is wrong. That is wicked. That is sinful. Or did I get the order backwards? Well, I'm just telling some other people so that they can give me some counsel, some advice. That is wrong. That is sinful. That is wicked. The Bible's already given you the counsel and advice you need. What more counsel do you need? Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. What part of that statement do you not understand? What's not clear? What do you need counsel for? What do you need wisdom for? What do you need prayer for? You know, we don't need to pray about things that the Bible has already told us to do. And I recognize that before you go to this individual alone, you ought to pray, of course. But to share this so-called prayer request with others is nothing more or nothing less than thinly disguised gossip. An awful lot of sinful gossip occurs in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ disguised as prayer request and spiritual burdens and concern. I'm so concerned about this. I'm so concerned about what this person has done. I'm so concerned about this dear sister. And this is what concerns me. Please pray about it. You gossiping hypocrite. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. It's always appropriate to take it to the Lord in prayer. You have permission to talk to the Lord about anything and everything. Help yourself. No holds barred. Nothing held back. But there's some things that you do not tell to others. Not in any way, shape, or form. You don't tell it to them as a matter of conversation. You don't tell it to them as a matter of prayer request. You don't tell it to them as a matter of asking advice or counsel. That's wrong. That's sinful. That's wicked. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, or if you think your brother has trespassed against you, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. 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 Until you've done this, you have permission to take it no place else. It is a private matter between you and him alone. And the Lord, of course, you can tell him anything, but it's a private matter between you and him alone and no other person on earth. Unless you have taken that first step as directed by Christ, and the response has not been a godly response. Verse 15 tells us, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So there does come a time when it is permissible to talk to others about it, but only after you have taken the first step. Until you've taken the first step, you do not have God's approval to tell another living soul. Once you've taken the first step, if that does not prove satisfactory, then you have God's permission to tell one or two other individuals only, still not anybody indiscriminately, not a group, not a whole bunch of people, but one or two others with the express purpose of enlisting their help. That's the only reason. You don't take it to anybody who's not qualified to help. You don't take it to anybody that you know ahead of time will not be willing to help. You've got to take with you one or two more. At the minimum, one more. Probably at the maximum, two more. That's all that's required, and that's all that's needed. And so, obviously, to enlist their support, you're going to have to tell them. But still, you are restricted in who you can tell. And you are restricted in the purpose for which you can tell them. You can't tell it to people for the purpose of getting counsel. You can't tell it to the purpose to other people for the purpose of enlisting prayer support. Except these one or two. And in a sense, you are enlisting counsel from them, but it's not counsel to determine what you should do next, because the Bible's already given you that. Don't you understand, dear friends, that what the Bible tells us to do is not up for debate? It's not up for debate. We don't discuss that. We don't deliberate about that. We don't talk about that to decide whether or not we're going to do that. If the Bible says it, tells us what to do, then that's end of discussion. The only thing that you now need these people to counsel you in is when you do go and talk to your brother, they are there to counsel you after that has been done, or during the process of doing that, during the process of this second conversation, this second confrontation. People don't necessarily like that word, but there's a proper biblical sanctified confrontation, which is God-honoring and is necessary, and they are there to help and counsel you in that situation. If he will not hear thee, then take with thee two or three more, that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. They're there to listen and to help you be certain that you are hearing correctly, that you are communicating correctly, that you are responding correctly, that you do have a legitimate grievance. For they may counsel you that you don't have a legitimate grievance and that you need to take a different posture entirely, to drop this as an offense against you, a trespass against you, when they may counsel you that you are mistaken about that. Or they may need to be there to admonish the other person, having heard your version of the trespass against you and the other person's response. And the other person justifies and excuses and tries to explain away the trespass, but they hear it all. Your version, their response, your story, their side of the story, and their reaction to that is to admonish this other person that they have done wrong and need to make it right. They're there to be helpful. And if that doesn't do the job, they're also available as witnesses when you take the next step before the church. Verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. And since they went as witnesses, the implication is that it's appropriate, maybe even necessary, that when you tell it to the church, you have one or two more who can back up your story. This is what happened. This is what so-and-so did. This is what so-and-so said. I went and talked to them about that individually. This was their response. It was not satisfactory as far as I'm concerned. We've still got a problem here that is a threat to the peace and unity and well-being of the church. I took brother so-and-so and brother so-and-so with me, and they can corroborate what I have said. And it still wasn't satisfactory, and brother so-and-so, would you please tell the church what you heard? And brother so-and-so, would you please tell the church what you heard? That type of thing. And when that is done, then the church is in a position to appeal to this brother. And if he will not hear them, then he needs to be excommunicated from the church. And here we are, where we were at the end of the broadcast yesterday, and we'll take it up tomorrow. May God help us.